That's real. That's real. What's in this room right now is real. God's been wanting to break through in this place for a while. God's moving in His people. That's real. I want you to go with me to Galatians 3, and we're not going to be long today, because you know what? Really, in this service today, it's more about getting to this altar and letting God speak personally and direct in you today. Did you realize that God knew you were going to be here today? You thought you got up. You thought you got here. No, I'm serious. We think we're in a lot more control than we actually are. But I want to tell you guys something. I want to give you three things today to kind of wrap your mind around. Now, here's what we're going to pray for, though. I don't want it to stay, Reverend Pugh, if it stays in your mind, then your head gets pulled down toward your feet. It's got to go in your heart. It's got to activate in your spirit soul so you might be brought forward. Can you feel that motion? God wants to bring His people what? Forward into heaven. We're being pulled out of something. As we were singing, how many of you all felt like, you know, man, something's in here. Anybody get up? Something's in here? Okay, now if you've never been around that something, now watch this. See, here's how I know when God shows up, okay? His people rejoice, and then there's a sense of fear. Like, oh my God. You know what I did last night? Yeah. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Now, I really want us to get that for a second. All to Him I owe. Now, just imagine with me for a moment. I'm going to propose to you that God's promise is greater than human regulation. That's the first thing I want you to hook on today. And then secondly, I want you to know that God's promise will be. It will come through. No man, no government, no technology, no moment of time can break God's promise. And you're a part of God's promise. And then the third thing I want us to get today, now I want you to pray, because I'm telling you right now, the Holy Ghost is in here hard. Well, I'm telling you, there's some demons from hell released in here today, because we're securing some ground today. The Lord is. And the third thing I want you to know, that Jesus be lifted up, all people have hope. Now that right there is what the devil didn't want me to tell you. You all know I shoot it straight. I'm not politically correct. I don't buy into all those games. Here's why. You all know right now you feel more tension than you have in a while. Okay? I want you to know who you are. I want you to listen to me. You are people of God. I've searched the Scriptures. Nowhere in the Scripture did He call us to whine. I've looked for the verse. No, Lindsay, there's not a verse in it where Jesus said, as My people and as My followers, go for and whine about the world. I've not found that in the Scripture anywhere. Have y'all found that anywhere in the Scripture? The church is not to whine. We are to witness to the promise of God. We are the witness of the promise of God. That's why Jesus would say things like this when His followers said, Lord, what do we do with these taxes? Some of y'all had that question this week. Lord, what do I do with these taxes? Now, you're probably not going to like Jesus' answer. Pay them. Yield unto Caesar what? And God what is? Now, here's what I want you to know, church. If we don't watch it, we have a tendency to get over here in Caesar's and forget whose we are. We do not belong to Caesar. We do not belong to his regulations. Watch this. Here's the great news. Since we don't belong to Caesar, since we're not regulated by Caesar, and since we're not owned by Caesar, we do not suffer Caesar's consequences. However, you are a part of God's promise. Somebody look at your worship neighbor and just say, you are a part of that promise. Come on, I want you to confess it. I want you to get it out of your lips. You are part of God's promise. Come on, everybody talk. Some of y'all been waiting to go to a church where you can talk in worship. Now you can talk in church and you want to be quiet. How many of y'all got sheeshed as a little kid when you went to church? They sheeshed you. In fact, I thought that was a regular part of worship.
That and ear thumping. Look how small my ears are. You know what happened? Worship. When I was a child, my daddy would reach around there and go, boom. Be quiet. My ear would go, woo, 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 woo. That was not the movement of the Holy Spirit. That was human regulation. You know what my father was trying to do? Get me to behave. You know what needed to happen to me? I needed to be saved. Now, some of y'all are living like that. You come to church to behave better. Wrong. You come to church because you're dead. You're dead in sin. The law has indebted you to the consequences of sin. There's one way to live. Jesus gives us life. Now think about this. Tomorrow evening you come home, whenever tomorrow evening is for you. Somewhere between 3 and 9 o'clock at night is your evening somewhere. That ought to get most everybody. And you come in, and what if this happened to you tomorrow evening? You come in, you go to the mailbox, or you go to the post box, and you open up the mailbox, and you receive the letter. Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so, I am writing to inform you that all your debt has been paid. Your mortgage is gone. Your car payment is gone. Your student loans are gone. Hold on. And in addition, we will pay all your taxes from now to the time of your death. Let me ask you a question. Would anybody be talking on Tuesday morning? How many of y'all would go to work on Tuesday morning and say, it's the same day as yesterday? What would you do if that happened to you? Would anybody on Tuesday morning go, you will not believe what just happened to me? Hold on. That has happened to you. And that has happened to me. Because we follow Jesus Christ. Our debt has been canceled. Did any of y'all ever listen to Dave Ramsey on Friday afternoons? He has credit card cut up day. And these people that paid off for credit cards, they cut them up and they go, woo! How many of y'all found out? Watch this. I want you to know this. Debt kills. That's why God relieved you of it. Because you know what debt does? It regulates you. It's a killer. That's why the proverb of wisdom said, never be subject to the lender. Now let me ask you a question. How many of y'all have been borrowing some things from the devil? He's got them on loan to you. As he loans them to you, and then you become subject to his consequences. Have you noticed that? Now I want you to note something. Please note this. The devil will entertain you well on the way to killing you. The devil, he kind of likes that old song out of the early 70s, you know. Killing me softly with your feet. The devil will play that game. He'll play that game. He'll sneak up in your ear and whisper to you. Huh? True, Bobby? He'll whisper. How many of y'all have ever had the devil come up and say, hey, do this. It's really going to mess you up. You ever been tempted like that? How does he do? Little by little, he works at it. That's right. Oh, this is going to be fun. Here's what he does to some of you ladies. This is the one. Well, let me tell you what. Let me help y'all because I love you ladies. Now, here's what I want y'all to know. If this one looks just like the last one, it ain't the one. Some of you men are going, well, now, I get this all the time. Pastor Steve, I want to have a holy marriage without a holy spouse. How you do that? How do you marry somebody outside of the promise and expect the promise? Well, you don't understand, Pastor Steve. When they know me, they will come to Jesus. No, they won't. Especially the little girls going, y'all quit doing this. You sweet little lovely girls, you bring these renegades into my office. And there they are. And I have to ask them, do you have a relationship with Jesus? No. Then I look over and there she is.
Pastor Steve.
I know the Bible says. We in trouble right there. Here's what you tell me. I know what I'm fixing to tell you won't work, but I want you to bless it because somehow, because I'm cute and beautiful, it's going to work. And you become in debt. You become regulated. So I want you to go to Galatians 3. There's these principles, all I want you to know today. First principle is this. You and I are not subject to the law because the law cannot create life. But we are a people of promise. I want you to understand this. You got to understand where you come from. You come before the law. Abraham was before Moses. Do you understand that? Abraham was before there was a Ten Commandment. Hello? How many of you glad to know that you worship a God that gave a promise before He stated a regulation? Now, how many of you all would rather live in regulation instead of under promise? You better live in the promise. Here's what these foolish, as Paul, not my words, but Paul's words. You foolish Galatians. God has given you everything and you want to substitute it for your establishment. Now note this. Verse 16, chapter 3. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Underline. Singular. Paul points this out. Paul's a great scholar. He said, now note. The Scripture does not say into the seeds, meaning many people, but into your seed, meaning one person who is... Uh-oh. Now here's the gig. If you would like to be in promise and out of regulation, then you must decide to follow Christ. All other religious philosophies are regulatory. Don't check me on this. I like to be checked. All other religious philosophies require you to clean up before you can get in. So don't run this jazz by me. That all religions are equal in the eyes of the Lord. Because He never said that. He said there's one seed, there's one Christ, which ends up being one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Spirit, one way, one life, one truth, one heaven, one hell, one! Y'all get that? Now check this out. The one. You ready for this? Mike, you ready for this? The one who promised Abraham is in you right here. That's heavy. Larry Mustard, Illinois. How can God find somebody in the bayou of Illinois? But He did. Didn't the world say this was a renegade boy that could never make it? And didn't God say, hold on, I got a promise. I remember when Elizabeth and I got married, you know what everybody thought? Elizabeth, tell her. Can you believe Elizabeth would say it like, we'd never make it? We got married when we were 20 years old. Her mom looked at her. Like, what are you doing? Her dad cried coming down the altar. I finally had to look at him and go, it's not that bad. When he's over here, grown man, World War II vet, sobbing, decorated Purple Heart kind of guy, walking down, he's walking down. I met him like, hey, how you doing? You know, all I could see, Elizabeth was just radiant and beautiful, and I had all these dreams of how marriage was going to be. Those last about as long as you stand at the altar. And then there's the reality of life. But here's what was great. You know what? She had the promise of Jesus. I had the promise of Jesus. So we had to make it. Well, now you understand the promise. You see, the seed that God put in motion in Abraham cannot be stopped by this world. You all have no idea how much power God just spoke to you. The seed of the promise that God made Abraham cannot be stopped by this world. And it will be revealed. Now, here's what I want you to know.
God does not want to regulate you. He wants to relate to you. Look, let's go down to verse 21. What about the law? What's it for? Why do we have this law, the Ten Commandments? Anybody know why we have the Ten Commandments? Is that all right? Can't keep them. Has anybody here kept the Ten Commandments? Now, I know some of you all from other parts of the United States and the world. In Kentucky, we like to plant Ten Commandments. We're convinced if you plant Ten Commandments in your front yard, helps the grass grow or something. I don't know, but in Kentucky, we like putting Ten Commandment signs out everywhere. Garrett, you ever heard this? Well, now, if you're from Kentucky, they talk like this. Well, sister, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You've heard this. You and I both heard this. Well, Sister Coleman's heard it. I've heard it. Well, now, I'm going to tell you what. What happened to our schools when we took them Ten Commandments out? As soon as we took the Ten Commandments out, everything just went. I remember going to school with the Ten Commandments in there. Everything was busting up then. I remember it said, thou shalt not, and we were. How many of y'all have had that problem before? Now you understand the law. God said, shall not, and we said, one time. Now, here's what happened to the Ten Commandments. We didn't even get them down the hill before we blew all ten. That's why, and Moses was mad. He broke them when he saw the other people breaking them. Think about it. Moses gets mad. He is angry. He's been up there having a revival with God. He's gone to a superior religious conference. He's got the Shekinah glory of God all over him. He walks down the hill and everybody's doing everything they're not supposed to do. So what does he do with the tablets? Boom! Throws a fit. What do y'all think about a religious leader throwing a fit? Well, guess what? He picks up his scraps. He takes them back up the hill. God gives him the Xerox copy that says exactly the same thing as the original copy. These are still my standards. Why are those in vogue? Check this. Check this. Why is there a law? It's going to tell us. Paul's very clear here. I love it. What is the purpose? Is the law therefore opposed to the promise of God? Well, absolutely not. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. God's about giving you a what? Life. The Ten Commandments are awesome if we could live them. How many of y'all always try to fudge on them? See, I bet a lot of you stolen and don't believe you've stolen. I mean, I hear that in Kentucky. Well, I'll tell you what now. I may have messed up, but I ain't never stole nothing. Ain't killed nobody. It's a word, killed. It's not killed. It's killed nobody. Ain't killed nobody. Pastor, I'm going to heaven, ain't killed nobody. You heard that, Nick? I'm a good man, Nick. Now, I may have beer once in a while. It's a beer. It's got three E's in it. Beer. And sometimes I say some words I ain't supposed to. But I've been good to my wife. I've worked hard. I've kept the woman up. I don't listen to her, but I've kept her up. Does that sound like a relationship? Does that sound like regulation? Proper would be yes. And it leads to death. Now, what does God want to give you? Life. Can I ask you a question? Why would you step away from life and accept death when you could live? Paul says you're a fool. You foolish Galatians. Don't you get it? The law could not impart life. If it could impart life, then Jesus wouldn't have come. But he said, wait a minute. Here's why the law exists. So that you and I might come to who? Jesus. It's about a promise from God. Look at here what he says. But the whole scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin. How many of y'all found that to be true? How many of y'all have lived outside of Jesus' promise? What do? When you live outside God's promise, what do? How many of y'all have sinned before? Y'all tell me, how many of y'all found a sin that worked out? Any of y'all good at sinning? I mean, I got a PhD in sinning. I tried a lot of it. You know, God said this, and I said, well, God, that sounds like a good idea for everybody else. But you watch me, God. I can violate this promise and still come out pretty good. Guess what? I violated the promise of God, and I found out that exactly what God said and told me would happen, happened. How many of y'all have ever done that?
my dad told me. My dad, I found it from my dad too. I remember when I was young, my dad said, do not get a credit card. My dad was old. He did not understand the new economy. My dad, very brilliant man, graduated very, very high honors in his class. And he didn't understand I was a C student from Warren Central High School. Brilliance. God had endowed me with brilliance that this man could not understand. So I went and got me one of them gold cards in the 80s. If you had a gold card, guess what? You was somebody. Now this is in the 80s. Big hair, big cars, big malls. Big credit cards. Which ended up being big debt. Now back, this is an old ancient time. It's in the 80s before cell phones, before iPhones, and before iPads. Before bailouts. Back then, it was a radical concept. If you got yourself in debt, guess what you had to do? You had to deliver pizza until you got yourself out of debt. You had to do as many odd jobs as you could do because guess what? Guess what? When I called my father and said, Father, I've run up my credit cards. He said, yeah, that's what they make part-time work for. He said, what do you mean? He said, a stupid tax. He said, and guess what? You run it up again, it'll be the same thing. You run it up again, it'll be the same thing. Guess what he was trying to teach me? A relational principle over a regulatory device. Sin will kill you. The law's there to show us this stuff will kill you. And then Jesus is there to show us, I would like you to come to life in a promise. He tells us, look, he tells us directly what the law's for. But the scripture declares the whole world's a prisoner of sin. So that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. This makes the difference. Those who believe and those who don't believe. And I'm going to tell you what. This jazz of showing up to church for an hour on Sunday morning and saying you believe, that's not enough to cut it. You've heard it live here. I'd rather for you to hear it here than on the day of judgment. Now, is everybody listening right now? I need you to listen for 5 minutes. How many of you noticed there is some tension in the air of culture right now? Okay, watch this. That's God intended. That's of God. You know why? He's going to shake the church. You know why he's going to shake the church? You cannot shake loose the promise. God can shake the church as hard as he wants to shake the church. But check this out, Clancy. You cannot shake the promise out of the church. Pretty cool, isn't it? You cannot shake the promise out of the church. You know why? Because God is that promise. It is Christ. Now do you see how important Christ is? He's not just somebody that gets us out of trouble. He establishes. You with me? He establishes the church. And you can't shake Jesus out of the church. Isn't that great? So if you all are in Christ, in the promise of Christ, converted by God, sins forgiven, in a relationship with Jesus, can anybody shake you out of heaven? No, tell your neighbor, I will not be shaken. Maybe loosened. You can get loosened, but you cannot be removed. So guess what? If you get loosened, what do you got to do? Is that right? Say, so wait a minute, I'm going to step back into the promise. I'm going to step back into what God says. How many of you all today, really your decision needs, I know there's a God that loves me. I know God has recreated me, but I need to step a little tighter in His promise. I need to clean my steps. Anybody here need to clean your steps up? How many of y'all been walking where God has not recommended? Watch this. If you don't think the whole world's in sin. Now, I know none of y'all have ever been to one of these places. Anybody here have been to a club? Elizabeth used to go and she told me about... I'm just kidding. None of y'all have ever been to a club, right? No. I bet you ain't never been to one of these. How many of y'all have ever been to a club that had bright, clear lights? Never. One of the dangerous things that exists in this world is alcohol with dim lights. That has caused more divorces in this nation than anything. Why does the devil play like that? Because when you're regulating, you never want anybody to see what you're up to. How's God come? Clear as a bell. Full of what? Light. He said, here's your sin, but here's my promise. This is where the world lives, but this is where heaven is. All right? And we got to wrap this up. How many of y'all now want to be a person of promise? Some of y'all need to remind yourself of that. Now listen, we got to apply this. How many of y'all got a marriage of promise? You men, listen, I'm calling you men out, y'all. Listen, you men, listen to me. You got to wake up in the morning, Monday morning, wake up. You look over there at that beautiful woman that God has sent you and say, by the promise of God, He sent me an angel. At least you can get away with a few more things next week, okay? He sent me a person of promise. How many of y'all are married to somebody of the promise? You're married to a promised person. Good deal. Now we're going to wrap it up. Listen carefully. Jesus Christ draws all people unto Him. Warning, 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 warning. I'm going to preach. You better wake up. Your pastor hates racism. It is a sin. Hold on. Hold on. I want you to hear me. It is a sin out of hell, no matter who does it. It'll kill anybody. It's an old trick of the devil. He's trying to bring it around. He's trying to bring it around. I will not stand in the world's deception. Now I want you to hear what Jesus says. All right? This black-white thing, that ain't on God's mind. We made that one up. That's a little temporary deal. Here was the real racism, Jews and Gentiles. You should have seen everybody's face about 5 years ago. I was leading a conference, predominantly African-American pastors. I looked and I said, man, I'm really glad to be with my people because we Gentiles, if it wasn't for Christ, we'd be really messed up. These pastors were blown away. I said, man, I can't believe you said that like that. I said, go read your Bible, pastor. Your fight ain't in there. God's is. Let me show you the separation. It'll never be on location or ethnic background, but it will be on those who believe and those who disregard God. If we believe, we're all in together. Now, God draws all people. Hillview, we've always been a church like that. For 20 years, we've been a church like that. And the devil's not going to get in here. Okay? And if I ever hear any of that stuff, I'm going to lovingly kung fu chop you in the name of Jesus. But with love. But it's going to hurt. But with what? Love. Hey, when God started mixing us all up, you know what? Here's why it happens. Hey, have y'all noticed we got people from everywhere in this church? Have y'all noticed that? Okay, now hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Devil wants that. Leonard Bailey, devil don't want you and I to have a relationship. Why? I mean, how do you deal with you and I have been friends for a lifetime? How do you deal with that? How do people deal with we get along? How do they deal with you've never seen me white and I've never seen you, you know, black? Now, sometimes you've seen me red in the summer, you know, but I mean, you know what I'm talking about? We've never had that issue. Well, guess what? The devil wants to destroy that because he wants to destroy the body of Christ. Because here's what he knows. If the body of Christ ever unites, he's dead. I hate this. While I'm on a rant, I'm going to tell you what I hate. There is not a white church and there is not a black church. There is not an American native church. There's not a Hispanic church. There's not a Asian church. There's not a baby boomer church. There's not a Gen Xer church. All of these divisions are from hell. There is one church. It has one Lord. It has one promise. It has one power. It has one purpose. One. One. And we can't pervert it. Here's what Jesus says. In Christ, there is no Jew or Greek. Just a promise. Watch this. There is no slave or free. It don't matter about your position. You could be a slave or you could be a free person. But in Christ, you're at the same destination. How many of y'all are glad to know God is not looking at our banking account to figure out our position in heaven? Is that not a blessing or what? See, some of y'all, watch this. Some of y'all, go, you've done pretty well. And you're going to walk up to the Lord and say, hey, Lord, what about, Lord, I was a graduate from Harvard. and I made $400,000 a year. You know what God's going to do? I paved the sidewalk with your action. You know who you're talking to? God! I'm not impressed with what you have done. And you're going to see some old humble lady. It was going to blow y'all away. Be some toothless wonder. But in heaven, she's lived out the promise of God. And I mean, she'd just be radiant in the glory of God. And everybody would be going, who's that woman? Oh, that beautiful woman? That woman that stands radiant through. That was that bent over old toothless woman at church. She never had much money. She never had much prestige. In fact, nobody ever noticed. But God did. Because every Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, Tuesday night after Tuesday night, whatever was going on, she was there doing what God had called her to do through intercessory prayer to bless His people. And now He has revealed His promise in her eternity. You better listen to me. There's no male nor female. There's no slave nor free. There's no for you. For you are all one in Christ too. How many of y'all glad to know that? There it is. So if you're visiting today and you don't like people from all over the world, go somewhere else. I don't know what heaven you're going to. If you're going to a white heaven, it's probably going to be hot. If you're going to a black heaven, it'll be warm down there too. If you're going to Hispanic heaven, be a little taco sauce, heated. If you like to go to heaven, it's a place where Jesus is lifted up. It's where sinners have repented. It's where the promise of God has been released. It is where eternity will go on forever, ever. And I'm going to tell you something. It is real. You want to go? How many of y'all going to get real with God, man? I love you. Let's get real with God. It's time to get real with God. I mean, y'all scared right now. I feel some of you scared right now. You know why? God might do something. Love all you young, but men, y'all going to step up and really be men of God, or y'all just going to be like bumper sticker Christians? Don't be like my generation. We've had enough bumper sticker Christians. They're all baby boomers. They love Jesus as long as Jesus was giving money. Do you love Him when He won't give you a dime? Do you love Him when you're paying rent? You better love Him while you're paying taxes. Larry, I don't like it. April 15th, I am not in a good mood. I don't help anybody April the 15th. Do not come in my office and ask me for food on April the 15th. Because I am wound up. Then guess what Jesus said? I'd give you some food. I said, I know, Lord, here, I help them. Come on. It's not about that. Listen, I'm not talking crazy. I'm telling you the truth. How many of y'all realize you're going to die? What are you going to tell God you've done with your life? Well, Lord, I trust in our government. How can human beings live this long and not get it? How can you live this long and not get it? How can you have this much historical information and not get it? There ain't never been a Pharaoh that blessed anybody but him. Pharaoh, he doesn't make children. He makes slaves. And he always has. But God sends a promise that makes children. And sometimes we got to be the children under Pharaoh's reign. It's always a Pharaoh. But there's always a Christ. What did Jesus do with Pharaoh?
Loved him.
Remember old Pilate? Jesus, you know what I could do to you? How would you like this for an answer? Well, just because my daddy will allow it. You know, I think we need to get a little bit of that attitude. Do you know who you're talking to? Young ladies, let me ask you a question. When these guys ask you out, Do they know who they're asking out?
Do they know that they're asking out a woman, a young woman, under the promise of God? Einstein, you know what that requires to date a woman like that? Don't think hard. Don't make it complicated. A man under the promise of God. That's the way it works. You ready? How many of y'all believe what we talked about today in Galatians? I'm done. How many of y'all believe that? How many of y'all believe what you just heard? Listen. I hate to get all red-faced and tore up, and I know some of y'all think I'm crazy, but man, we're keeping this thing clean. And you know what? Here's what I found, man. If somebody don't fight for what's right, then all of it goes wrong. It's a problem with our nation today. Everybody that knows better just sits there. Where's the church been the last 50 years as everything just kind of faded away? No, we ain't been asleep. You know what we are? You know what we are, Stuart? We're lazy and scared. You know why? We're not submitted to the promise. My colleagues, fellow pastors, most of them are worried more about their annuity when they retire than they are there's a soul destined for hell in their congregation. I'm worried about one thing. When the trumpet blows, are you going? That's all I'm worried about. You can ask my wife. That's all I think about, isn't it? That's all I think about. That's my whole life, what God called me to. Are you going to heaven? Some of my colleagues go, wow, you're not sophisticated enough to me. I said, yeah, but I'm going to tell you what. When my people die in my church, if they go to hell, it's their fault. You go to hell for Hillview, I have no mercy on you. Because you've heard every Sunday that you've got to submit to that cross, ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you, ask Him into your life, become a part of His promise. Haven't you heard that every Sunday? So when the trumpet blows and God shakes the church and you're not a part of that, tell me whose fault that is. What are y'all going to do? Form a group that it's not fair you didn't get in? It's one thing I'm going to be loved about heaven. All rights groups will be closed on heaven. We're not going to have women's rights. We're not going to have men's rights. We're not going to have anybody's rights group in heaven. Because only people of the promise get in. And people of the promise, they knew all along that life was not fair. And they praised God all the time that God was not fair. Because if God had been fair, He would have never showed up and left us under the law. But God removed us through grace and put us in heaven. And I want you to go today. Amen. God wants you to go today. How many of y'all would like to see your good friends in here go to heaven today? All right, good deal. Well, if y'all would like to stand on up, y'all been great. You've been great. You've been great. Okay, we're going to pray now. Listen, lockdown. Lockdown. This is lockdown time. It's lockdown time. Break it down. Get all hamburgers off your mind. It's the devil. It's real. Beautiful people brought here today. Lord Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Say, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. Lord Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Pastor Steve, you don't understand. I've been married. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Pastor Steve, you don't understand, man. I'm addicted. Lord Jesus, forgive me. I believe you died on the cross, Jesus. I believe you rose from the grave. That's going to change somebody today. Wide open, changing. Wide open, changing. Come on, let Him have your life today. All right. If you're a believer in Jesus and you haven't been baptized yet, I want you to hear this. Man, our pastors know how important that is. And you know what, pastors? I'm going to put you on the spot right now. Y'all know that God's telling you that that's important for some reason. I can't explain it all. Jamie and I talk about it. I can't lay out the lot. I mean, we get the water from Bowling Green. We don't import it from Jerusalem. It's not about the water. But it is about having faith in doing what Jesus asked you to do. There's a lot of you need to be baptized. You've never been baptized. So our pastor Steve, I was baptized when I was a baby, like you decided that. You got to make a conscious decision that this is your Lord. You ready? So let God have you, man. Y'all been beautiful today. Here we go. Lord, this altar, this moment, whether we're in the back row of the balcony or the front seat of the church is irrelevant. It's not where we sit, but it's who sits with us. And Jesus, do we sit in your promise today? And Lord, I'm just going to ask you right now. Lord, I'm asking crazy today for everybody in here that needs to be saved, that you would grant them salvation today. Lord, and I especially pray for folks that think they're saved and they're not saved, that you would really show them that it ain't church membership and it's not an agreement or a contract. It's a promise from the seed of Abraham. Cross and resurrection, God forever. Show us that truth, Lord. Only you can reveal it. Lord, we pray for healing. We pray for people to come forward that need to be baptized. We pray, though, that this be a holy moment. Reverend, holy moment. Well, we're going to see people come to Christ today. It's happening in all three services. It's going to happen right now. I guarantee it. You ready? Let's release this. Lord Jesus. What a promise. What a power. What a reality. Lord, we ask right now that you do your work, the work of the cross, right here at this altar. There would be healing. There would be new life. There would be release. There would be possibility all over this house. So you ready? Listen to this good news. I get to say this right now. I don't know if I'm going to get to say it next week. I really don't. But this week I get to say it. Come. And let Jesus connect you to an eternal promise that cannot be shaken. Come. So in the name of Jesus, this altar's open. New life is available. God is real. So as you come, may the Lord touch you and bless you. Everybody's invited. Y'all just saw me got all red-faced. Everybody's invited to God. Nobody's left out. Everybody's invited. Come on and receive the invitation. Come on in the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on, church. Some of y'all need to be saved. Let him have your life right now. Come on. Don't hold it back. Don't hold it back. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.